2 Kings chapter 8, and our text for this evening is the first verse of this chapter. Then spake Elisha unto the woman, the Shunammite woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go, thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. The test and the triumph of faith is what we have before us in this text of Scripture and the portion of Scripture we read. We must begin by stating all of the experiences of Elisha recorded in Scripture are not necessarily recorded in chronological order. And this incident involving the prophet and the Shunammite woman appears to have taken place before the events that are recorded in chapter 7. We say that because in verse 4 of chapter 8, portion we read tonight, we find Gehazi speaking openly and freely with the king. We read in verse 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha done. Now this must have taken place. This interview between the king and Gehazi must have taken place before Gehazi was stricken with leprosy. Because had Gehazi leprosy, he would not have been speaking with the king in the manner and in the way that he did. You recall how Gehazi had been stricken with leprosy because of his disobedience. And that is recorded in chapter 5 and verses 25-27. And that being so, Gehazi, because of his leprosy, would have been an outcast of society. He would have had to have dwelt alone or in a leper colony somewhere. And he could not have come near to the gate of the city. And he most certainly could not have drawn near to the king and spoken to him and the king to him the way he did. You turn to chapter 4 of 2 Kings, and verse 36. And there we read, and he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. The Shunammite's woman's son had died, you recall. And Elisha had raised him to life. And he calls in his servant. Said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And it is there at that point that we can add in the words, Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he raised to life. Chapter 8, verse 1. So we see the chronological order now, that it was shortly after Elisha had raised Shunammite's son to life that Elisha received a word from the Lord that there was coming a famine. And it was at that point, shortly after he had raised the Shunammite's son to life, that Elisha says to her that she was to arise and go thou and thy household and sojourn whithersoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. So this event took place before Gehazi became a leper. And certainly not after. As revealed to us by the fact that the king spoke openly with Gehazi. That would not have taken place had he been a leper. And so we find then that Elisha has a word for this woman, who had, of course, a very special place in Elisha's heart, since she had been so kind to him and to his servant Gehazi. And now she's called upon to arise and to go and take her household and to sojourn whithersoever she could, because the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. To flee from the famine meant that the Shunammite woman had to exercise a great deal of faith. She was to rise up with her household. She was to leave the land that she loved. And she was to go to wheresoever she could find to escape the famine. This was a test of her faith, a test of this godly woman's faith. But we find that it ended in triumph. We notice then, first of all, the word for the woman. The word that Elisha had for this woman was a word from the Lord. We see that in the opening verse in our text. Then spake Elisha unto the woman. Yes, Elisha spoke unto the woman. The word that he had for her came from the Lord, because Elisha goes on to say, for the Lord hath called for a famine. So here was a word from the Lord for this woman. And there we begin. We see, first of all, the communication. When the Lord wants to communicate his will to us, he will do so through his word. That's how the Lord communicated to this Shunammite, through his word delivered to her by Elisha. In Old Testament times, the Lord would communicate with his people directly. We know that from 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, where the Lord communicated directly with Samuel. At a time when there was no open vision, that is, there were no manifestations of his mind, either by dreams or by prophet. The Lord did not speak to Israel because Israel had gone away from the Lord. But in the midst of the spiritual darkness in the nation, God spoke directly to Samuel, revealing his will to him. But for us today, the Lord communicates his will to us through his written word. God does not reveal his will now by dreams or by prophetic proclamations or by revelations. What we have before us tonight in the 66 books of the Bible is God's revealed will to us. and we want to know what God's will is for our lives, the Lord will reveal it to us in His Word. The psalmist has said in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." In other words, the Lord will be, His Word will be a light and show us the way, direct us, that will not leave the path that He has set out for us. And yet, some people will say, "Well, I feel the Lord has led me to do this, or I feel the Lord has led me to go there or go wherever." And then whenever you challenge them and say, "Well, how did the Lord lead you?" "Well, it's just, I feel the Lord would have me do this." That's very dangerous. Our feelings will lead us astray. We cannot depend upon our feelings, but we can depend upon the Word of God. Psalm 43, verse 3. "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me," David said. "Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." We ought not to allow ourselves to be led by our feelings when it comes to major decisions. Psalm 143, verse 10. Psalmist said, "Teach me to do thy will." Isn't that what we all want? We want to do the Lord's will, and the Lord will teach us to do His will. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." God will communicate His will to us through the Word. We want to know the Lord's mind on a matter, a decision maybe we have to make. We go to the Word, and the Lord will show us. It's like being led in the ministry, and you get a call from some church. How do you know then? How does a minister know whether to stay in his present congregation or accept the call to another congregation? Oh, he dare not say, "Well, I feel led to stay," or "I feel led to go." No, he seeks by prayer the mind of God, and the Lord reveals His mind and His will through the Word. That you can depend upon. He communicates His mind to us through the Word. As well as the communication, we have the command. Through Elisha, the Lord communicated His will to the Shunammite woman. His word came to her as a command: "Arise and go, thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn." Arise and go. That's a command. For this woman to obey, it certainly would require a great step of faith. Notice, the prophet did not tell her exactly where she was to go. Rather, the prophet said to her, "Arise and go, thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn." You see, the Lord does not always revealed to us his complete will. He will reveal to us his will for the moment. This woman had to obey God's word when God said, "Arise and go." And then he would reveal to her after where she was to go. And so it is with us. The Lord does not reveal his whole will to us on the moment. He will reveal to us part of his will. And really, that's a test to see whether we will obey or not. Because here was a woman, and she was told to arise and go. And it reminds us very much of Abraham. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, a great chapter on faith, in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, if you like, when he was called and commanded to arise and go, into a place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. The Lord called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he obeyed, but he didn't know where the Lord wanted him to go. That was revealed to him later. And so initially it was a test of Abraham's faith. And we read in verse 9 then, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And we find that the command came to the Shunammite woman in a similar way. Arise and go, like Abraham, not knowing whither she went. But the point is this, she obeyed the command. That's it. She did what Elisha had told her to do. He delivered the word of the Lord. If you turn to Acts in chapter 8, in Acts 8, in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Philip has been in Samaria. Philip has been preaching, and God has sent revival to Samaria. For we read in verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Now we find in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go. Same word of command. Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. I notice the Lord didn't reveal his whole will to Philip. He didn't tell him why he was to arise and go down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so there was Philip, been called of God, commanded of God to leave revival, to leave the city of revival and go to the desert. That took a lot of faith. But Philip obeyed. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. And Philip arose and went. And we, of course, we know that when he got there, the reason for him going and being commanded to go to the place that was a desert was because he was able to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch and lead him to Christ. But he wasn't told initially. And the first lesson which Saul of Tarsus learned was obedience. As Philip obeyed, and the Shunammite woman obeyed, Saul of Tarsus learned to obey. That was his first lesson. Upon coming to know the Lord as his Savior, the first lesson he learned was obedience. Because in Acts 9, we read in verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go." There's the same command again. "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Lord didn't tell him there and then. He just simply told him, "Arise and go. And when you get to the city, then you'll be told what your next step is." And the men which sojourned with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, and seeing no man, and Saul arose. He learned obedience. As Christians, we are to learn obedience. We purposely sang tonight, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." The communication, the command, and then you have the call. We look there at verse 1 again. "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go, thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn." Look at these words. "For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." Twice as long as the famine in Elijah's day. His was 3.5 years. But here we have that word, "The Lord hath called for a famine." He has decreed that there will be a famine in the land. Yes, the Lord had called for a famine. He called for a famine because of the idolatry of the nation. And so the famine would be God's judgment upon a nation because of her sin. But since the Lord called for a famine, what does that teach us? It teaches us that God shut up heaven. He stopped it raining. He stopped the rain from falling upon the earth, which brought about a great dearth and turned a great famine. Isn't that what he said to Solomon? He's able to do. In 2 Chronicles 7, in verse 13, the Lord said, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts," I command the locusts. God is able to command the very insects of the fields. "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, I send pestilence among my people." This reminds us that God is in control of all things. From the rain in the heavens, to the fish in the sea, to the birds of the air, to the animals and the insects on the earth, God controls all things. He controls the winds and he controls the seas. He controls the storms. He controls the earthquakes. Were not the disciples astonished when they were caught in that terrible storm in Galilee, and the Lord Jesus rose up from his slumbers and he rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm? You know, sometimes we read over that, we don't really take it in what the Lord did. He rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. You know, whenever the wind is blowing and howling, even in Lake Ontario there, you can see the waves. And if the wind suddenly ceases, the waves will still be seen. It'll be some time before there's a calm in Lake Ontario. But when God rebuked the wind, there was a great calm immediately. He stilled the tempest. He stopped the wind blowing, and he stopped the sea from raging. He's in control of all things. And didn't the disciples wonder and said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I think of that. We just read in 2 Chronicles 7:13, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts." He's able to command the locusts. He's able to command the ravens to feed Elisha. He was able to command a fish to swallow up Jonah. He's able to command the wind and the seas. And they all obey him. Yet when God commands us, do we obey him? Isn't it interesting that even the little insect and the fish in the sea and the birds of the air obey God and obey his commands, and yet the problem arises amongst his own people? For are we not at times slow to obey God? And since Elijah told this woman that God has called for a famine, she must have realized there and then, well, if God has called for a famine, then God is going to shut up the heavens. He's going to stop it raining. And if the clouds and the rains obey God, then the least I can do is obey him too. And so we read that Elisha said, "Arise and go, thou and thine house, and behold, and household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." And the next verse says, "And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God." First of all, we have the word for the woman. Now we have the willingness of the woman. The willingness. Elisha said, "Arise and go." And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. You know what struck me first of all with regard to this woman and her willingness was her silence? Do you notice her silence? The woman did exactly what the Lord through Elisha commanded her without a word being spoken. No word is recorded. She didn't ask the reason why. She didn't protest. She didn't resist. She didn't rebel. She didn't reason with Elisha and say, oh, but I can't do this, or I can't go there. I can't leave my country and I can't leave my people. No, she obeyed. The woman arose and did perseverance. No words of protest. That's not always the case. In Luke chapter 9, the Lord has called those to be his disciples, to be his followers. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. Christ said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Notice something. Do you notice what was in the replies of those two individuals? But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 61, I will follow thee, but let me go. Let me first go. As far as those would-be followers were concerned, it was me first. Let me first go. Those individuals would never be followers of Christ while it was me first. We want to be a true follower of Christ, it must be Christ first. Not me first. Christ first. And as far as the Shunammite woman was concerned, it was the Lord first. Her silence tells us that. When the Lord walked by the Sea of Galilee, of course, he saw other men whom he called to be his disciples. And we read in Matthew 4, verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straightway they left their nets and followed him. Notice their silence again. They didn't say, oh, I can't leave my home. I can't leave my father. I can't leave my nets. I can't leave my ships. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Their obedience. And they obeyed without one word of protest. Sometimes when the Lord calls upon us to do certain things for him, we raise a word of protest. Well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't face that person. I couldn't go there. No word of protest was raised by the Shunammite woman. Silence, that leads us to consider her surrender. Because really, the Lord, through Elisha, had called upon this woman to surrender her all. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go, thou and thy household. It was a call for surrender. And you notice also, there's no mention of her husband. That would indicate to us that her husband had died. Because we know in chapter 4, verse 14, that her husband was old. So the possibility is he had passed away. Now you think and imagine how difficult then it was for this woman to take the place of her husband in the home. And now she was being called upon, indeed commanded, to rise up and go, thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. Didn't know, like Abraham, where she was going. But then we read the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. That must have been very painful. Because in chapter 4, verse 13 of 2 Kings, she makes mention about dwelling among her own people, indicating that she loved where she lived, and she loved her people, and she loved the place. But now she was called upon to leave it all. Does all this not speak to us of this dear godly woman's surrender to the will of God? She willingly left her farm. She willingly left her house. She willingly left her friends and country and companions, turned her back on all that she held so very dear, and went forth at the command of the Lord. You recall that time when the multitude surrounded the Lord, and he's standing by the waters of the Sea of Tiberias, and pressed upon him. And he took control of Peter's ship, made that his pulpit. The disciples had fished all night. They'd caught nothing. The Lord then told them where they were to cast their nets. But Peter, in his unbelief, only cast one net. But they had brought in a great multitude of fishes. And we read this, Luke 5, 11. Their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. That word forsook is a word that means to let go or to put away. What surrender to the Lord is. That's what it means. It means to let go of all we previously held dear and to give ourselves completely to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. The disciples let go of their nets. And being fishermen, they would have loved those nets. They would have loved those ships. But they were being called to serve the Lord, and so they knew they had to let go And in letting go, they surrendered their all to Jesus Christ and followed him. That's exactly what the Shunammite woman did. She let go of her house. She let go of her farm. She let go of her homeland. She let go of all that she held dear and obeyed in complete surrender to the word of the Lord. When we think of surrender, maybe that what we have just said brings it home to us, what surrender is. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will live, love, and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee. Said Savior, I surrender all. They forsook all. They let go of all and followed him. We've seen her silence and her surrender. Then we notice her stay. Elisha told the Shunammite that the Lord called for a famine to last 7 years. And we read in verse 2, and the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistine 7 years. She didn't come home after 3 years or 5 years. She sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. The full duration of the famine. She stayed there as long as the Lord wanted her to be there. What does that speak to us of? It speaks to us of complete surrender to the will of God. The will of God was there be 7 years of famine. The will of God for the Shunammite was to leave the land and to sojourn elsewhere, and she did so, and she stayed there 7 years. So like Caleb. What was said about Caleb in Numbers 14, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. Fully. My servant Caleb hath followed me fully. The word fully means completely. He hath followed me completely. Completely. I have decided to follow Jesus. Caleb followed the Lord and followed him fully. That little chorus says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I'll go with him all the way. No turning back. No turning back. So it was with Caleb. So it was with the Shunammite. That's what it is. My dear friends, tonight, that's what it is. To follow the Lord fully. Completely. Complete and total surrender. When God calls us to do something for him, Let us remember the words of his mother at the marriage supper in Cana of Galilee. Mary said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's where we are. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, let us do it in complete surrender to him. In the last place, we have the wealth of the woman. No man or woman has ever given up all for the Lord and been the poorer for it. Neither did the Shunammite woman suffer loss as a result of her obedience to the Lord and his word. She stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years, and we read in verse 3, "And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land." In other words, whenever she was away, someone else had taken over her house. Someone else had taken over her land. And now she comes back again, and she meets with the king. And there you have her plea. She pleads with the king and cried unto the king for her house and for her land. Now you think of this woman. And she surrendered everything. She left everything. And when she returned home after 7 years, someone else possessed her house and someone else had taken over her land. It would have been tempting for this woman to complain and to say, "I obeyed the Lord and his word for nothing. I've lost everything." Had she given up 7 years of her life, her homeland and house and farm, only to lose it all? She might have said with the prophet, "I have lived in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain." But of course we know that is not true. Even though it wouldn't be the first time that some person's faith has been tested to the extent where they say, "I've wasted my time. God has called me to serve him, and I've seen very little fruit for my labors. I've wasted my time." And of course, no time spent for the Lord is ever wasted. You have her plea, and then you have her prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. It also could read P-R-O-F-I-T. You notice what took place. The king talked with Gehazi before, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done." And as the king was talking to Gehazi, that's when the woman came on the scene. You could say, "Oh, what a coincidence." No. God had planned it all. The Shunammite comes upon the scene when the king is speaking with Gehazi, and it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." And then he read in verse 6, and when the king asked the woman, she told him. In other words, she confirmed it. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field, since the day she left, and even until now. She didn't lose anything. The thing is, it was because Elisha was there. Or Gehazi spoke about Elisha. Once he mentioned Elisha and what Elisha had done for the woman, the king was stirred up and appointed an officer to make sure this woman received everything that she had left behind. And all that for the Lord through Christ, the Lord will restore to us 100-fold. We know that from Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. And what did the Lord say in Luke 6, verse 30? Give, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. May we give the Lord our all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. And the Lord will reward us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank thee for the word. The word of the Lord to the woman, and her obedience to the word of the Lord, and doing exactly what she was called upon to do. Help us, Lord, to surrender our all to thee. We know, Lord, that Ananias and Sapphira fell back, part of the price. Maybe not hold back. But Lord, give her all to thee. And we know the blessings will be many. But we know the Lord is no man's debtor. Even as the Lord blessed the disciples because they had left home and family and friends, he said they would be blessed 100-fold. We know there's blessing in store for the surrendered life. So, Lord, bless the word to us tonight, and may we meditate upon it this week and give it serious thought. Be with us now, Lord, as we part one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.